We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
It's John and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. David in here. Let's, we got to talk about the OTAs and stuff that we learned, stuff that we, well, was reported during OTAs. But first, David wants to talk a little about late night food. What up, David?
Hey, man. I'm from Groves. And back in 2005 when Rita hit us, Groves was pretty decimated, as Port Arthur was too. And so we were without power for 2.5 weeks. And we would have to drive to Thomas Jefferson High School. That's where the triage area was, and get MREs and ice like every other day. We were driving down the road to have a Jack-in-the-Box that's about a mile from my house. And there were two Jack-in-the-Box employees in the parking lot. They pulled us over and said, our freezer is down because we don't have power. We got to clear some of this food out. Would you like some food? And we said, sure, why not? You know? So they gave us two cases of the frozen tacos and a case of the jalapeno poppers. Needless to say, we were able to fire up the Coleman grill and cook for the neighborhood.
Oh, wow. I just gave them to you.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I've never been lucky like that.
No.
Never had. I mean, I've been lucky like that. It depends. I mean, you could have an artery.
Let's ask a question. John, you stay out of it because it pertains to something you did during a natural disaster.
Okay.
So who's more fortunate? David, that the freezer at Jack in the Box went out, so he got to take advantage of the jalapeno poppers and tacos, or John got to leave our fair city on a private jet
and then go beg for a discount,
and then beg for a discount
at an Italian restaurant.
Hey, we're refugees, I believe he might have said.
He used the R word.
He used that R word to describe
we
his.
We were
flight.
Refugees.
But did you tell the people how you got to that city?
It doesn't matter. We were fleeing a city.
So who's more fortunate?
In distress.
All right. Thank you for your input.
I'd say John was more fortunate than the artery busters.
I don't know. Man, I could have taken a couple dozen Jack-in-the-Box
now,
tacos.
Now, if John had to kick in for the fuel jet, the
he,
jet
he
fuel?
He didn't have to kick in for
if
the fuel.
If he had to kick in for the jet fuel, then I would say maybe the taco guy.
You know he didn't have to.
I know. I was just putting that, so I was just... You know, if there was a kick-in thing where he had to kick in $120, $150 for the jet fuel, I'd say, all right.
$150? Well, it's $20,000 round trip.
I know. I'm saying.
I'm saying the
number is still low, $150, and I still would have said.
The value of those tacos. If he had to, that's what you're saying pretty much.
The value I won. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Refugees.
But that many Jack-in-the-Box tacos for free?
Well,
Thank you.
And David didn't keep it to himself, though, unlike you. He cooked for the whole neighborhood. You would have just hoarded those things.
No, I took my kids.
Oh, I'm talking about the tacos themselves. We know your love for the tacos. You would have hoarded them. You wouldn't have cooked for the whole neighborhood.
Oh, no, I would have hoarded them.
Yeah, too. Poppers and tacos. You wouldn't have told anyone.
No, I like a party, Del. I like a party. I would have.
You would have.
Yeah.
He would have.
No,
we would have had a block party.
Only when they
were block party.
Exchanged it for beer. If
when they were
beer.
Drunk. Now that guy put him on a Foreman grill. Would you put him in a fryer? Because that's how they're.
Oh, you got to. You
got
to put
no
him
electricity.
In grease.
Got no electricity. They're out of power.
Oh yeah.
That's why he put him on the grill. The whole thing was out of power.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's
so
right.
He did what he had to.
Yeah,
get
that's
it done.
I bet it still slapped. I bet it's still greasy.
Great.
I mean, it's still greasy.
The grease is on
the inside too. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah. We had the giant boil for boiling crawfish, so we could have put oil in that and fired it up.
I don't know what he had at the time
with propane. Yep, Oh yeah, that would have been. Yeah, I don't know how you going to do Jack in the Box tacos on the grill.
Sure, he figured it out.
It's not the same.
Well, might be somewhat healthier.
Gotta
actually.
Gotta be greasy.
There's grease. The meat is greasy. The cheese is greasy.
No.
Oh like, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not when you like when you dip them in.
Well,
that,
yes. No, that's
yes,
in that
yes,
terrible
you're right.
oil they
when
have.
Not, when you're dipping, when you're not dipping it in the oil, they don't clean out. Yes, you're right. It's not the same. But I'm sure everyone's stomach was better for it.
Yeah. all right. What did we? Okay. So we got time. Yeah, we got a little bit of time. So what were you happy? OTAs. How about that? DeMeco wouldn't let Will Anderson practice because he's too disruptive.
Because he won't relax.
He can't just. Dude. Can't you just stand there and pretend? So like you're not playing a game.
So you know when on the draft stuff when I talked about Will Anderson. Well, so Dallas Turner was the guy who came out a year after Will Anderson, pass rusher from Alabama. And I was talking to a guy from Alabama, and we were talking about Dallas Turner, and I said, you know, how much is, you know, what's he like? Is he a leader? Is he this, that, and the other? Was in the weight room? You kind of, it's football character stuff. He goes, oh, he's fine. He goes, he's not like Will. He said, you know, like doing push-ups at 12 in the morning, you know, 12 at night, and then, you know, and doing, you know, making sure that he's, you know, everything he said was everything's a push up this, a push up that intensity, calling other teammates to yell at him because they weren't in the weight room when he was there at 6 a.m. He goes, you know, he's not like that. He said, but most humans aren't like that. I hadn't even heard that much. I knew Will was supposed to be a monster. I didn't find out until the year after what a football warrior he was. I got that same kind of story on Zion Johnson who came out of Zion Young, out of Missouri, who came out this year, the defensive end. Their offensive line coach told me, we were talking about an offensive lineman. He said, in practice, it's just he won't give anybody a snap off. Zion is just going so hard every play that you have no choice but to play as hard as you can on every snap or you're going to get embarrassed. And he just won't give us a break. We try to, you know, every once in a while we have to try to back him off. That's Will Anderson. DeMeco said it last week, and he had to say it again. He can't do it. He's not wired to not go hard. Like, he's so competitive. Why would he take a snap that's a walkthrough snap? That doesn't make sense to him.
Yeah.
So you just have to set him out. Like, I'm sorry, you can't practice.
Can't practice. The defense knows everything that the offense is doing. It's not like there's any surprises for the defense. But there were a lot of interceptions this spring, apparently. With the word out on a lot of the practices, Derek Stingley in the last one had a pick six against CJ. There were quite a few where the offense was struggling against the defense, but that's natural, I think. That's natural because the defense knows exactly what's coming all the time. They just, first of all, they know the call. Secondly, any formation, they know what's coming. They know it's a pass play, whatever. Whatever the case may be. And, oh, by the way, it's the best defense in football. So they're going to be ahead of the offense, which isn't the best offense in football. So it's good to know that the defense isn't slacking off at all, that the defense is still pretty damn good. I think, and I've seen, like, the Texans' defensive backs are ranked, like, fifth or sixth in the league. I don't know. I know depth is a problem.
That's crazy to me.
Pardon me?
That's crazy to me.
I know it's crazy. It's crazy. How in the world?
How are you not in the top three?
Especially with the addition of Blankenship. I mean, honestly?
Right.
Really?
Right.
With Bullock and Petrie and Stingley and Lassiter? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not. No one ranks groups based on their depth. No one ever does that. It's based on the starters. How in the world do you have... Do you have that group? I don't even care if it wasn't Blankenship. Throw whoever you want in there as the other safety. You got those three corners and a ball hawk and Bullock. If you just took those four players, I'm curious to see. So you saw a list where they were fifth or sixth?
Yeah.
That must be just some rando on Instagram list.
It could have been.
Like Goofy Gary 37620. Just joined Twitter 2024.
Yeah, I don't. I listen. Top ten show, I forget where it was on. Well, it was on Twitter, and it could have been some random. No, it could have been your boy. You, as a matter of fact, your favorite guy. It's always with.
I like Ben's fine. Ben's fine.
That's your guy.
Ben's fine. He's not my guy.
Yeah, I got
my guy is Brandon Thorne. My guy is Cole Kubelik. My guy is Aaron Taylor and Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah, he's another guy who would have his hand in someone's pocket.
Who?
Solek.
You are so bad. He would be running the block. What's wrong with you? He's not going to prison.
Carton.
I know. What's wrong with you?
Carton went to prison, so that's why I was visualizing that.
He really did for yeah. Ticket.
Solak went, ticket thing. Of, like, you know, some gambling issue he might have had.
He's
like Carton.
A smallish guy.
He would have his hand in someone's pocket.
He's a very smallish guy, but big deal. He's not the Craig Carton.
He ain't running. He ain't running the
he ain't, running. Oh, he ain't running the block. Mm-mm. No chance. Mm-mm. Was he your? So we don't know. Who ranked the Texans?
So we're mad about a list we don't even know. Some rando. Yeah. That's the thing is randos have too much amplification on social media, and people get upset about things that are said. When realistically, it can just be some troll or somebody who just doesn't know anything. It used to be we didn't hear from people who didn't know anything, except on Sports Talk, where they would call in and everyone would say, this guy's an idiot. And then we would all know they're idiots on Sports Talk. Now they get to just yap nonstop on social media, and sometimes they even get a little bit of a following and just think, oh my God, where are we going? Where are we headed?
All right, let's break here. 713-780-3776. You need to talk about the electrical, M&J.
Yeah, M&J Electrical Supply. So I had somebody reach out and ask, hey, does M&J do some, I need some electrical work. I said, that's not what they do. M&J Electrical Supply, let me tell you what it is that they do. They work with general contractors. They work with Jeremy Coker, the owner, has been doing this for years, and he's outstanding. Really love the work that they do. But they work with general contractors. They work with maintenance, maintenance engineers, project managers. They work with construction and demolition guys, electrical contractors. MJ Electrical Supplies. They buy, they sell, and they do professional removal of electrical parts and equipment. Let me tell you about the removal part because that also gets into the sales. They will come out and remove the electrical from whatever job site that you're on. They come out and do it professionally. And when they do it and they keep it intact, they then will pay you very good money for that, much more than you're going to get from the scrapyard. So you're going to make some money on that project just from having the electrical removed. They refurbish what they can refurbish, and then they can resell that at a deep discount and with a one-year warranty. So you may be interested in buying from them. They have brand new parts. They have refurbished parts. It cuts down your lead time, and it also can really add to your profit margin. But M&J Electrical Supply is here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Don't look anywhere else for circuit breakers, transformers, disconnects, panels, switch gear, and much more. Whatever you need, they buy, they sell, they professionally remove. Located at I-45 North, near West Little York. They are one phone call away at 713-688-5085 or 5055. That's 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055. M&J Electrical Supply for all of your electrical needs.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Better matchup. Arrigetti Skeens, Knicks, Spurs.
Knicks, Spurs. What was your question? I just put my headphones on.
Better matchup.
Oh, better matchup. Knicks, Spurs. Two good teams. I mean, Astros are not a good team right now.
Two good pitchers.
Yeah, good pitchers. It's a good really pitching good. Matchup. I'm really shocked at the over. I was looking at some of the analytics on this, to the, we'll cover both of them. But right now, there's I was looking at the you know, the offensive rating for the Knicks is they're tied for third with the Spurs. Actually, defensive rating, the Knicks are seventh, the Spurs are third. So it's kind of a battle of, you know, now you look at pace, and the Knicks are 25th in pace, and the Spurs are 12th in pace. The Spurs will push it up a little bit faster. Now, three-point percentage, Spurs are 14th, Knicks are fourth in three-point percentage. Clutch rating, the Knicks are third best in the league with clutch rating, and their fourth quarter rating is first best. So when it gets down to the fourth quarter and close and late games, the Knicks are one of the best teams in all of basketball. So that's something to keep your eye on. But I think with the rest versus rust debate right now you have with the Knicks and the way that pace of play could favor the Knicks, I think the Knicks will try to slow things down a little bit. If I had to just handicap this game, you know, the Spurs are something like a 4.5-point favorite, but I think the play is under 218 points scored. I think this goes down to, we're looking at something like 107, 104. 105 to 99. I think this is a much lower scoring game than 218, personally.
You're talking about, well, the Knicks were a really, really good offensive team, but they've been sitting for a while.
Mm-hmm. And the Spurs defend and the Knicks defend. It's really going to be a battle of their offense, you know, the three-point shooting of the Knicks and their balance versus, you know, the role that how much confidence do you have if you're the Spurs? I mean, you got to have a tremendous amount of confidence if you're the Spurs. You're just coming off that where you won back-to-back games against Oklahoma City, including a Game 7 in Oklahoma City. You got all the confidence in the world. And Wembanyama, I've already seen somebody, I saw an article mentioned yesterday that Wembanyama may now be the best player in the world. I'm not ready to go there yet. Mm-mm. I'm not ready to say that yet. Even if he wins the title, I don't think he's the best individual player. Do I think he's the favorite to win the MVP next year? Yes. Do I think there's a chance that we end up talking about him in the same breath as LeBron and Michael Jordan? Yeah, I think there is. In 15 years, we may very well, maybe before then, we may be, because he's got a team with him that could allow him to win multiple championships. And ultimately, you have to win multiple championships to have any shot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Jordan, and we'll see. I mean, there's a long way to go.
Plus, but I mean,
if you stay healthy, and which 7'6" guys don't. So.
I think the health thing is, if he stays healthy, I think he's got that chance to win multiple championships, multiple MVPs. He's going to do some things that we've never seen a player that size ever do. But yeah, the health thing to me would be probably the bigger concern than competition in the West. It would be, can he stay healthy? Because players at that size, they don't typically, their lower bodies don't stay healthy over the long term.
Yeah. Let's get Chris in here. Wants to talk about, I don't know what he wants to talk about. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, so I had a question. A lot of us, Lance, specifically don't get to watch practices, like OTAs, things like that. So when you talk about, like, Will Anderson being disruptive, the only thing I can think about is, like, Vladimir from the program build with Bobby Boucher's mentality. When you say, like, he disrupts, what does that mean, like, specifically? And then what does it mean for the backup player when D'Amico's like, hey, Will, sit this one out. We don't want you to blow up the play. Hey, Derek Barnett, get in there because we know that, you know, you're not going to do that. Like, what does that, like, translate to? Can maybe explain a little bit more what that's like.
I don't know. I've never been put in that position, so I have literally no idea. I've never been put in a position where Will Anderson was taking reps on the microphone, first team, and, like, you're going too hard with this conversation. Lance, get in there and run second team. I don't know. I don't know how I can speak to it. I just know this. I don't think Derek Barnett ever took it any kind of way. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll just go at a regular pace. I'm not trying to wreck the offensive linemen. And, you know, all it speaks to is that Will is a rare bird. Will is just wired completely differently. His intensity is on a completely different level. He is that type A personality guy. And that's all I can say. I don't know. Every once in a while you hear about players like that, and when you hear about them, you know it's kind of special because most humans aren't built like that. So I know I'm not wired like that. I'm not the Will Anderson of radio. So I am maybe more the Derek Barnett, if that's what you're insinuating. And I don't even know that Derek Barnett is just like me. I would say I'm probably more like the Dominic Robinson, maybe, of radio, or not the Tommy Togiao of radio.
Hmm.
I might be more. No, I'm not the MJ Stewart of. He's really high character.
You changed your hairstyle. You like CJ.
I could be the CJ Stroud of radio. Sure.
Yeah.
I could be. You know, really came out better early on, and then like. You know, maybe I'm the C.J. Stroud. Some would say the Tank Dell, but I don't miss games due to injury. I do get injured a lot like
You're
Tank.
You're injured often.
I do get injured a lot like Tank, but I,
what
but
about
I
Nico?
Come out.
You miss, yeah.
I don't really miss. Nico misses. He misses games.
Yeah.
I'm more the Wade Woodass, probably, of radio, I think.
I was thinking
Wade
John Weeks.
Woodass.
Who?
I was thinking John Weeks.
Yeah, been around a long time. Yeah, it's not bad. Hey, Weeks played it really.
Yeah, but
I think Weeks is still in the league.
Yeah, but Weeks doesn't have any flaws, so.
That's true. Yeah. Weeks doesn't have any flaws, so he is like me in some ways.
Right, right. But he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm. For who?
Is he not the greatest snapper in the history of the game?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm sure there have been other snappers who have done just
wouldn't know
as good
who
of
it
job.
Is. Wouldn't know who it is.
Joe Cardona was not one of the guys. Who
Joe was, Cardona was a Patriot. That's the only reason you know him.
I know him, though. You asked me if I would know one. But I just gave you one.
Do you know anyone else that's been perfect? We know he's been perfect.
What Darren Binn?
How can you be any better
I don't know any other
than
long
John
snappers,
Weeks?
Darren Binn? Wasn't he a long snapper? What's his name? The former Charger. Feels like I remember that guy's a long snapper.
I mean,
we only know
how
John,
can you be better than perfect?
We only know John Weeks because he played here. No one else knows John Weeks. Let's not pretend. I know the Ferguson family is a family of long snappers.
Oh,
the LSU
right.
guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But I'll
well,
take
we're
being
not talking
a John
about
Weeks.
The first family of snappers.
David
we're talking
Binn,
about the greatest
me.
Ever.
David Binn was a long time snapper. For
I just
Chargers.
Know that John Weeks stays around. He hangs
18
around.
Years as a long snapper.
Yeah, I'll be the John Weeks of radio. That's fine. I consider that a huge compliment. Massive compliment.
Well, I'm taking David Binn over John Weeks because David Binn dated Pamela Anderson. A long snapper got to date Pamela Anderson. John
wow.
Weeks ain't saying that.
Wow. She wow. dated a...
A long,
really?
A she, long snapper.
She dated a rocker and a long snapper?
Yeah. No, he was a big dude, 6'3", 228. So
did her
big
and Tommy
guy.
Lee, did they get married or were they
I
just
don't
together?
Know. I don't know. No. Yeah. I think she was Pamela Lee at
married.
One point.
Yeah, she was Pamela Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't give John Weeks greatest long snapper of all time. He never pulled a Pam Anderson type. David Binn, number one, top of the list.
Well, then... J.J. Barrett is the greatest basketball player.
Fine, ever. If you want to do that, because he had a Miss Universe. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
And he also partly ruined the legacy of maybe the second best player of all time. Mm. A lot of things on his resume.
Yeah.
He ruined LeBron in the finals, and he married that girl within months. Yeah. All that happened within months of each other.
Yeah.
Well, a great summer for J.J. Barrett.
Great summer. I mean, you can't have a better summer than J.J. Barrett.
Is he still with that
woman? It's almost nearly impossible. And you cannot also have a better roofer than Jason Brinkman. The Brinkmans have been doing this in the city, in the area, in the Houston area, for over 50 years. Here's the thing about that. And you know, these guys, they come along and they'll knock on your door and say, hey, you know, your roof is shiny. We need to get up there. You need to do something about this. Let me get up on your roof and I can help you out here. Well, that's one of the dumbest things you would ever do. First of all, the insurance implications of letting a stranger get up on your roof, you don't, with no qualifications, you have no idea. If he's knocking on your door, chances are he don't know what he's doing. Jason says they have to fix more of these jobs, the guys who knock on the door, and then regular job. It's incredible. So don't do that. And oh, by the way, he knocked on your door. When will you see that guy again to stand behind his work? The Brinkmans will be here and have been here and will be here forever. No matter what it is with your roof, and if you haven't done anything with your roof, I mean, you're really playing Russian roulette. because you have no idea when the next storm hits in the city of Houston if that roof is going to hold up. And if it doesn't hold up and you haven't done anything, the insurance company isn't paying you. So you're sitting in your car right now and you're thinking, maybe I should do something. Well, here you go. Go to BrinkmanQuality.com. That's B-R-I-N-K-M-A-N-N, BrinkmanQuality.com, or call, listen to this number, 281-480-ROOF, 281-480-7663. Free, no obligation estimates, 100% financing available. You got to do something about your roof. BrinkmanQuality.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. Dan.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, welcome back. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Elliot wants to get in on the show. What do you say, Elliot?
Hey, morning, guys. Happy Wednesday. Had a Rockets question, but quick side note. I live in a complex in Uptown, and Will Anderson actually just moved in, ironically. And I actually got to meet him and talk to him a little bit. And as a Steelers fan, I asked him, why did he embarrass Aaron Rodgers like that in the playoffs? And he said, because that's what I do. So he's actually a really, really cool dude. You would never expect him to be the highest paid defensive player in the league. He wears sweatpants, nothing flashy, talks well, super, super good dude. So just thought you'd find that interesting. But had a Rockets question. Watching these Spurs, it really just pisses me off seeing how quickly they've turned this around, and even OKC as well. And as Hall of Famers, y'all probably touched on this ad nauseum, but what do you think the Rockets are going to do this offseason? Because obviously they're light years away from OKC and the Spurs and a multitude of other teams. So, I mean, do you just run it back? Do you try to go after, a Giannis? Do you try to get more young depth talent? Like, what do you guys think they'll do this offseason?
I hope nothing. I don't want to see Giannis. I don't want to see him breaking up for Giannis or Jalen. I want to see him add. I want to see him do long-term plan. They got the Nets pick. That's going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Reed get better. I want to see with Fred now, because Fred is the greatest player in NBA history. Because without him,
the most impactful player we've seen in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, Fred VanVleet. Steven Adams, I want to see him play more than 12 games. Yeah. I don't think adding a superstar is going to make a difference. Build it right, the right way. You got some good contracts, an Alpi's contract, Jabari's contract. You got Kevin Durant for a couple more years. Run it back. That's me. What do you think?
Yep, I'm the same. I just think anything that you do to add, you're subtracting too much.
Run it back to what end?
Well, you really are at a... You know, to me, you have a house. There's no reason to take it back to the studs. Take it down to the studs. You just keep trying to add on little features to your home. And the only way you can do that is with trades and... You have a chance to get a pretty good player next year. So I think that would really – I mean, you have to hit on picks. You have to get a castle type. I mean, it's just what you have to have. You've added good players. Amen Thompson's, I think, a really impactful player. I think Jabari's a solid glue piece. You know, Reed Sheppard up to this point has just been an up-and-down player who flashes, but that he's not been able to sustain it. You use one of your picks – to go get you Kevin Durant, another pick, Alperen Şengün is a good NBA player. You have to have someone else that ends up being better than. I think you have to draft somebody who ends up being better than Şengün. Potentially, is what you're talking about, because he can't be the best. He can't be the best player on a championship team. I don't think.
Maybe the Spurs got lucky and they got Wembanyama. There's no question. But what they did with the rest of the roster has been very, very impressive.
Excellent. Same thing with Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Just excellence in roster building. It's
really, really great roster building. And that's what the Rockets need to do. They need to build a roster. I mean, if they were unfortunate in where they picked, you know, they, Jabari in was the third pick. Reed was the third pick. Amen was the fourth pick, but that was a good fourth pick now.
Yeah. No, it was
Amen
good
was a
pick.
Good fourth pick.
We pick at Amen a little bit.
Alpi was
a
15th pick. He was a good pick. Atari, 17th. Yeah. He was big. He was a good pick. Yeah.
Well, most of these picks by have the been philosophy, good. And I'm not even really disagreeing, by this philosophy, they're not building their roster this season or this offseason because they don't have a draft pick.
Right.
So that's waiting until
I wouldn't panic.
But you're adding
who?
You're adding the most impactful player ever.
Yeah, I've heard.
Two of them.
Yes.
Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet.
Listen, and we joke, but Steven Adams was a huge there was a line of demarcation. When Steven Adams went down, the thing fell apart. Steven Adams was a huge difference maker with his defense and offensive rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference maker.
He averaged 8.6 rebounds a game in 22.8 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, his rebounds per minute we know is terrific. Have you seen all the videos of him? It was all cut from one podcast he did where he talked about how he offensive rebounds. Did you see that? It was fascinating where he talks about it's a piece of a pie, right? So he said if you take an overhead view where you're looking down into, you know, from on top of the backboard, basically, you look down and you see into the basket, and then the baseline runs all the way left and right, and you make a semicircle all the way around. Wherever you are, he wants to get on the high side of where you are, so he gets the largest piece of pie. He wants to pin you to the smallest piece of pie that you have. Wherever you are, he wants to get on the other side. If you're on the wrong side, a more of an acute angle, so to speak, all right? So it's an acute angle. He's going to put his hip on you if you're at an acute angle, which is less than the 90, and he's going to put his hip on you and pin you so where the rest of that pie is his. So if you're at 30 degrees, then he wants the other 60 degrees of the pie. And it was fascinating listening to how the things he does. Did you see where he would mess with people at the free throw line, where he pushes on them? He does certain things to either irritate them or to see how strong they are, to get a test to see how strong they are or how they fight back when he does certain things.
And it
alerts him of how he wants to handle it. Like, I was fascinated. There's three different clips, and I just thought I could listen to Steven Adams probably talk 2 hours easily on a podcast. I probably need to go back and actually listen to this podcast because he strikes me as extraordinarily fascinating every time I hear him talk.
Yep.
And he's just damn good at understanding what his job is and doing his job at a high level. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that we always have to talk about this health thing because over the last, you know, he went from being a guy who played 80, 81, 70, 76, 80, 63. Then it turned into 58 with New Orleans. Well, that was a COVID year. Don't count that. But he had 78 with Minnesota and with Memphis. But then he had 42 Memphis, 58 Houston, 32 Houston. Over the last 3 years, injury has become a major factor for him. And that's unfortunate, but you do have to wonder if this is just age catching up with him right now. He's 32 years old, but three straight years of much higher than normal injury totals.
And he'll be 33 once the next season starts. He turns 33 in July.
Played 32 games this year, John. I mean, he missed, you know, we're talking about missing 50 games. That's the most he's ever missed. The most he's ever missed was last year.
And a year older.
Dude, he only played 32 games last year? Didn't it seem like he played a lot more?
Well, he got hurt. January 18th, that was his last game as a Rocket before he was done for the year.
I mean, he even played 58 last year, but that's still missing 24 games. I'm sorry, in 24-25, he still missed 24 games. So he's missed 50 in 24 games.
While patience is apparently an internal battle, we've heard difference of opinions on how they should go about it. So one side wants to do one thing, one side needs to do another. I think they will try, whether it be superstar trade or not. They won't try to stand pat. They may be forced to because the asking price is too high. But coming off another non playoff win season, that's now Ime Udoka's third season. Didn't win the playoff series. I don't know. I don't think they'll try to stand pat. They may be forced to.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but really, I understand if you know that you're up against it with Oklahoma City and San Antonio, for example, you have two choices. You can either take a wild swing that becomes a much higher risk, higher reward swing, but also limits your window, makes a much smaller window against much younger teams. And typically you don't beat younger teams. Historically, you don't beat younger teams with older teams, mm-hmm. especially if they're injury prone. It just doesn't happen. So what you've done is subtract younger core members, and you've made this a higher. And if one of those older players gets hurt, who are having an injury stack up on them, then you're completely cooked. You have zero chance of even competing for the playoffs. I don't love that idea. I think I like the other idea of actually being closer, of at least having it. Look, I may be. It's like the idea of if you're a golfer and you're chasing somebody at the top of the leaderboard, you can start trying these crazy. You know, you can start trying crazy shots and being as aggressive as possible to catch them, but the odds are you're going to make mistakes and you're going to fall down that leaderboard and you're going to lose a lot of money. I know that's not the same thing we're talking about, but it's the idea of giving myself the best chance. If I at least stay at a certain level, even if I know that I'm below those two teams with my roster, maybe they have an injury one year. Maybe there a piece comes that you can trade for in the middle of a year that helps you in the middle of a year. Maybe you have a draft pick that's the 21st pick of the draft, and he becomes a steal. You know, at least give yourself a chance where your baseline starting point is higher than having to just tear it all down because you made a trade that didn't work out. And I'm not saying that's what the Durant trade is yet, but if you back it up with a second trade where you subtract even more pieces, then you're really, man, you're not catching them with two older players. Even if it's Giannis and Kevin Durant, that's not good enough to catch. That's not good enough to catch the Spurs, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a guy who's allegedly out there. Trey Murphy's not an older player. He's 25 years old that the Pelicans might want to move off of.
Feels older. He's only 25.
He's only 25. So you don't need to go that route. I get it. The name Giannis will spark interest, but there are ways to improve.
Yeah.
Well, what do they want?
Well, actually, probably similar to what the Bucks want.
He's getting 21 a game.
Yeah,
Trey Murphy.
They want multiple first round picks and young players, just like what the Spurs.
Well, you'll get what you get, and you'll like.
Well, then you'll stand pat and be a pretender, not a contender. Because Rockets aren't a contender.
New Orleans is just in a mess. You just need to start dealing some guys away.
Okay.
All right.
That's how they'll operate. Just give you everything.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. That's a Jabari Smith move. If you trade him, it starts with Jabari. I'd say Jabari and Reed should be able to get that done. Let's do it, guys.
Yeah. Let's go.
Jabari and Reed for Trey Murphy, and then you give us a first.
They're giving you a first.
Wow.
Well, because Reed was the third pick of the draft.
Wow.
So. Then why are you trading him if you're so high on him?
Because, you know what? Here's the deal. Parity.
You want to make the Pelicans better and you worse. Okay, got it.
I want to make the Pelicans better.
Just saying.
How does this work since it's a trade swap with the Nets? You can't trade that pick away.
Can you trade swap rights? I don't even know how it works, honestly.
You can trade the Nets pick away, but if you're swapping with the Nets, you can't trade it away, right?
I really don't know if swap rights can be.
Yes, NBA teams can trade away swap picks. If your team holds the right to swap draft positions with another team, example, you have the right to take their pick if it is better than yours. You can trade that newly acquired swap option to a third team just like a standard draft pick.
Got it.
Right. However, you can trade the Nets, but you can't trade your own.
It says, however, the Steven rule, you cannot trade your own first-round pick in consecutive future drafts. If you give away a swap option, you still technically own your original pick, which satisfies the rules. If a trade swap pick, the trade team receives the rights to the highest possible pick out of the teams involved in the swap.
It's two.
Yeah, it includes a third team that can make a choice about getting the highest pick. Yeah, it gets complicated, but you can, but you still have to maintain your own because it's part of the swap.
Yeah,
because
it's part of the swap. You've got to be able to give the Nets something.
Yeah. Very much so, yeah.
All right, we got a break. M&J Electrical is what we're talking about right now, though.
Giving you a chance to get the very best to purchase. Or let's just talk about purchasing, right? So you have a lot of you who are in that space who are dealing with, you're an electrical engineer, you're a construction, you're in terms of you run the construction site. You know that you need to have brand new equipment or in some cases pre-owned, you need to have it because your lead time, you lose money. The longer you're waiting on parts, the longer you're waiting on pieces, the more that job begins to cost you. So you need someone like M&J Electrical Supply. I've been doing this for over 3 decades right here in Houston. They've got everything, circuit breakers, transformers, disconnect panels, switch gears, and much, much more. They will sell you those, the top brands, and they also will sell you refurbished if you're looking for it, brand new or refurbished. Refurbished is going to have huge discounts for you, and it's still going to come with a one-year warranty. So get the pieces you need right now for you project managers, construction, demolition guys. If you are in charge of getting the entire project together, they are your one-stop shop because they buy, they sell, and they also will remove all of that for you. So make sure that you don't miss out on an opportunity to work with Jeremy Coker, the owner. He is phenomenal and will help you on your project. I promise you that. 713-699-5055. 713-699-5055. Located at I-45 North and West Little York, right off Steubner Airline. It is M&J Electrical Supply.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.